touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. And no one else could touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like once more.
Bless you. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening, isn't it? Let's stand. This is 31 in your hymn book. Are you standing on the promises this evening? Amen. Oh, standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I'll shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Oh, I'm standing on the promises of God. And standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, and by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh yes, I'm standing. Standing. Standing on the promises of God. Present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh yes, I'm standing. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh yes, I'm standing. Standing. Oh, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, and resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh yes, I'm standing. Stand.
Why don't you greet one another this evening in the name of the Lord? Thank you.
the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Oh, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
I sure have enjoyed the services. I felt like my sword was sharpened up a little bit this morning. Had some stuff to fight off the enemy with. I can't add anything, so much talent but just the Spirit of the Lord coming, but I can say thank you, Jesus. So hope you can sing this from your heart. Help me out.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, yes, you brought me. Oh, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. He's been my father. He's been my mother. He's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me. Yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Oh, Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life. Brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me. Oh, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me, yes. You brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Oh, Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Oh, you brought me, yes. You brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way.
Amen. Can you give him a hand clap of praise? He's worthy of our praise and our thanks. Amen. It's good to have each one of you in the house of the Lord this evening, all of our visitors, all of our home folks. God bless you. It's good to have you. Pray that God blesses you while you're here. As we go to prayer, Brother Yarbrough will be traveling, I believe, tomorrow or the next day. We want to remember him in prayer and remember all the saints that are traveling home today to Florida and the other saints that will be traveling to West Palm Beach. And want to remember the ones that we're believing this. I haven't watched the news at all about the storm, so I don't know what it's doing, but I believe it's that God's got it in his hands. So just believe that it'll go out to sea and avoid all of the saints and each one, because God is more than able to do that. Amen. Amen. If you have a need, make that known by an uplifted hand. He sees those needs. Brother Stephen, would you come and take us to the Lord in prayer? Just invite his presence in and pray over these prayer requests. Amen. God has been good. Sure has been a wonderful, wonderful meetings. Looking forward to what he has this evening. God bless you.
Just wanted to repeat something Brother Furman said. We certainly appreciate the believers from Florida coming to be with us. I told Brother Solomon as he was getting ready to head out, I just appreciated that long drive that they took for us. And I know sometimes when you sacrifice, you get more out of it. And I know they were blessed, but we certainly were blessed. And thank you for coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thinking about the service today and how you moved. And the wonderful thing, Lord, about being in your care is that there's no end to your love. There's no bottom to the ocean of your mercy and your grace. And so we come tonight and we're expecting great things from you, Lord. And we just want to open our hearts to whatever you'd have for us, Lord. Looking forward to what Brother Jack's going to say and preach and minister. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with him now. Strengthen him. Give him the energy that he needs and give him the clarity that he needs to bring what you'd have for us tonight. And for the believers traveling back, be with them on the road. Keep them safe, Lord. For those amongst us, Lord, that would be sick or fighting some things, Lord, we just pray that you'd come and touch them now. And Lord, just thinking about the message this morning and how, Lord, how we should trust in you and just stand fast in those times that are difficult in our trials. Lord, I just want to say that I'd ask you, Lord, to help me to stand fast in those times of trouble. And Lord, to choose the hard way, to choose the painful way if need be, Lord, as you were our example and you chose the painful path, Lord, because the prize that was before you, Lord, help me to make those tough choices, Lord, knowing that you're the prize before me, Lord. Help us, Lord. Be with us today. Help help everything we say and do, Lord. I don't feel like I live up as much as I should to the standards that you've set, but I thank you, Lord, that you aren't looking at my mistakes, but Lord, you looked at your sacrifice. We just claim that blood this evening and thank you, Lord, for everything you did, and we commit it all in your precious name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Barry Weber.
Y'all pray for me. I get a little nervous every time I get up to sing, but I'd love to sing for the Lord. Bring down the fear all around you. Don't look with the eyes or listen with your ears. Cry out to God, He is always near. In your darkest hour, your miracle is here. Don't give up on sends those troubles to confound you. He lies and said this time there's no way you can find to make it through. Remember God's true word, the battle is the Lord. Don't give up your view, think on things that are pure. Praise the Lord, your miracle.
Appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. At this time, we have a special from Sister Crystal's brother, and Brother Luke, who's visiting with us. If he wants to make his way this way, amen. God bless you.
I wrote this song a few months ago, and I didn't used to tell people that, but I had a brother from my church tell me, you know, it's part of your testimony. I just came back to the Lord last November, December, and he's really brought me a long way and showed me a lot of things.
I was so lost, searching all around, looking for something I knew could not be found. And trying all the world had to offer, filling the position of a scoffer. One day I let go and I let God move in, and he took my sin. Outside of God there is no hope. There's just a bunch of dead end roads. Trust me when I tell you I, because I know God is the Savior of my soul. When I am broke, he takes control. Some situations he'll let unfold to let me know he's in control. It wasn't easy, I had to learn to let go of my sinful way and take a stand and say no. It took a little fire and some pressure, but in the end it turned out I was better. And oh, if it wasn't for amazing grace, I couldn't run this race. Outside of God there is no hope. And there's just a bunch of dead end roads. Trust me when I tell you I know. God is the Savior of my soul. When I am broke, he takes control. Some situations to let unfold, just to let me know. He is my God, he is my all, he's my Redeemer. He praises his holy name, forever he will reign. He will fight my battles, he'll bear my pain. He speaks to me, and I believe. Yes, I will listen, cause I agree. Oh, outside of God there is no hope. There's just a bunch of dead end roads. And trust me when I tell you I know, because I know God is the Savior of my soul. When I am broke, he takes control. In some situations to let unfold, to let me know. Outside of God there is no hope. There's just a bunch of dead end roads. Trust me when I tell you I know, 'cause I know God is the savior of my soul. When I am broke, he takes control. Some situation to let unfold, to let me know. Outside of God, there is no hope. There's just a bunch of dead end roads. Trust me when I tell you I know, because I know. Outside of God, there is no hope. There's just a bunch of dead end roads. Trust me when I tell you I know, because I know God is the savior of my soul. When I'm broke, he takes control. Some situations let unfold, so let me know.
Amen. You appreciate our special songs tonight. Amen. Let's stand together as we invite Brother Jack to come. My, it's been wonderful services, hasn't it? Wonderful presence of the Lord. Wonderful singing. Wonderful preaching. Wonderful worship together of the Lord. So, hate to see it come to an end, but Brother Hoover told him to save the best for last. So, amen. We'll be believing that he did that and be looking for a good time in the Lord together. Let's sing this together as he would come.
It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving. It won't be long till we'll be going home. I know it won't be. We'll be leaving. It won't be long till we'll be going home. So count the years as months. You can count the months as weeks.
Sing it again.
Oh, you can count the years as months. Oh, count the months as weeks. Oh, count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. And I know we shall be like him. Oh, we shall be like him someday. I know that we shall be like him any day now.
Paul said we'd have a body like his own, glorious body. Let's sing it again together.
Oh, I know we shall. Any day now, oh, we'll be going home. So you can count
so you can count the years. Count the months as weeks. You can count the weeks as days. Oh, any day now, we'll be going home. Count the years, say, count the years as months. Oh, you can't count the months as weeks. Hey, you can't count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home.
Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. You can be seated in His presence. Again, we want to thank you all for having us this weekend. And man, it's just been a real blessing to be here at Church of the Open Door. 8 years celebrating, amen, this church and just what the Lord has done in 8 years. And I just wanted to just do something here. I want to say it could have been 8 years ago that I actually came and spoke at Church of the Open Door, but it wasn't like this. 8 years in November. It's a little different then. And there were a few people that were here when I spoke 8 years ago in November. And I'd just like to see those people that were in those services stand. So I came to Brother Nathan's house, and this is what I saw 8 years ago. And I come back 8 years later, and I see all of this. What I say is that the hand of the Lord is upon this ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I know Brother Nathan's been preaching a series on yield, and what I'll tell you this is that as you yield, because Brother Nathan had to yield to the Lord. We had many conversations. But as you yield to the Lord, you don't know the other lives that you are impacting. Amen. So I want to encourage you, amen, as believers, yield to the Lord. You never know how God would use you. And I'm just so grateful for what I see the Lord doing, amen, in this amount of time. I remember the sermon that we preached when we were there in the house. It was titled, Bring Forth Fruit With Patience. And I see that's happened. God is good. God is good. Amen. I know it's nothing but the hand of the Lord that has done these things. Amen. I want to sing a song that was requested of me, amen, tonight. And one of the young brothers, amen, asked me to do this. And I said, certainly we'll see what we can do. Put me in B flat on this, but just as a little testimony, when I was a young man, I heard this song. I was driving down the street and I heard this song on the radio. And as I listened to the words, it just began to really move in my spirit. It's always been something that has ministered to me throughout the years. And I trust tonight that it will minister to you. It never gets old. There are some songs that you can sing that just never get old. They always, amen, they always bless you every time you hear it. And this is just kind of one of those songs. The name of the song is What's Sin? What's Sin? It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus. I begged Him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again. Lord, wash my sin. And this is all He'd say.
What sin? What sin? Well, that's as far away as the east is from the west. He'd say, what sin? Tell me what sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness, the heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear it, so let it go in my Jesus name. My God is slow to anger, quick to forgive our sins. So let him place it under the blood. Don't pick it up again. And he'll say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. My child, what sin? Tell me what sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Oh, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memories. Nothing makes me weak this way, but then I hear you say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. My child, my child. What sin? Tell me what sin? It was gone the very minute you confess. All your sins are buried in the sea of forgetfulness. It's buried in the sea, yes it is. Yes, it is a forgetfulness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad that he buried my sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and he put up a sign that said, no fishing. Hallelujah. So if the devil tries to go fishing, he may just drown looking for the things that I did. How we love the Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. We'll read two passages of scripture. I want to read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. And also 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, and then 2 Samuel chapter 5. It's been we say this all the time, and we really mean it. One of the primary reasons that me, Brother Nathan, and Brother Trevor connected is we had certain things in the Word of God that we would look at, especially from the message of the hour, and we come to find out we were all coming from three different walks, and yet we were looking at things the same way, and we got connected really because of the revelation of the Word. That's what brought us together, and through that revelation of the Word, everything else has kind of come forth, and we're very, very appreciative of it. But and we I don't know if they share notes from me, but I certainly take notes from them. They let things kind of slip out. They, oh,
that's the message. And so me and Brother Nathan were talking recently, and he sent me the scripture about the book of the wars of the Lord. I said, Brother, I got this little note here about war strategies, and you just kind of gave me a little something. So I said, you know, God had different strategies for different battles, you know, that they fought in the scripture, and one scripture they shouted, you know, and another one they marched around the walls. I mean, they did all kind of things, you know. They had different strategies. They went up to Ai, and they turned, they ran, and say all these strategies. I said, I'm working on that. So, you know, he start texting back and forth. I said, oh, brother, you're giving me some more inspiration. So I'm preaching this tonight, something that I got from a conversation that we were, amen, talking about. So I appreciate the inspiration, amen, that I get from my precious brothers. 2 Peter, amen, chapter 1, verse 3 through 10 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. And the prophet did tell us that once you're born again, these things automatically add to you. Amen. Oftentimes we try to do the work ourselves, but it's the Spirit of God doing the work in us. Amen. It says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, hallelujah, and to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither shall be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. Turn with me, amen, over to 2 Samuel as well. As I was just going back and forth there with Brother Nathan, I said I want to use the statue of a perfect man as our foundation, amen, as we tie it into a war strategy, amen, in the Old Testament. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, glory to God. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow, amen, in a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you once again for the ability to read your scripture. Father, but we pray now the Holy Spirit would bring to our, amen, understanding the things that you would have us to know tonight. Lord, speak to each and every one in this place. And Lord, may we leave here strengthened and encouraged by the word of God. May you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise from everything that happens in this place tonight. We take every spirit that's against the Spirit of God underneath the control of the Holy Spirit, even right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So what I've done is start this journey of war strategies, and we would go through a particular virtue there in from 2 Peter, and we would tie that virtue to a strategy, a war strategy over, amen, in the Old Testament. You know, I remember talking about the subject of faith. And, you know, and I was just preaching on one of the gentlemen that, amen, that displayed faith would have been Gideon, amen, and how Gideon just kind of waited on the Lord. And, you know, and it seemed like, You know, when according to the scripture, it seemed like Gideon was a man that didn't have faith. He was like, Lord, if he's the same, then where be all his miracles? You know, and God knew that Gideon had a certain way about him, and he knew that he could trust Gideon. He knew that Gideon would be the one to get the job done. So he called him rather than a man that was doubting and at the threshing floor with his father and trying to hide what he was getting. He knew that there were certain qualities in Gideon. So he says, thou art a mighty man of valor. Amen. I want you to understand that whatever God says about you, that's what he sees in you. And the reason that he sees that in you is because he placed it in you before you were born. God put those qualities in you, and God's going to use something to call it out of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So Gideon, you know, when he went down there to the battle and, you know, he was a little afraid of going. Amen. He was a little afraid of going, and he got 32,000 men together, and they were on their way to battle. And God says, Gideon, I feel that your army is too strong. Now, you know, I was doing some numbers, and you know, I forget what they had there, but I mean, it was almost like if you had 32,000 men, one man had to beat maybe 10 or 15 men. One man. The odds were pretty, they were stacked against him. But God says, I think if y'all won the battle with these 22,000, say they're going to think they did it in their own strength, so I got to strip the army down. And God say, now, ask who's afraid. Ask who has fear. You know, just ask them that and say, if you got fear, you can go home and don't have to worry about going to the battle. And all of a sudden, when Gideon makes this announcement, 12,000 men leave, or 22,000, I forget what the number is, but he was down to 10,000 men. I remember him being down to 10, and all of them left, and now that makes the odds even greater. Amen. When he's getting ready to go. And then God says, well, even with 10,000, if y'all won the battle with 10,000, I have a feeling that you all would give glory to yourself. You wouldn't give glory to me, so I'm going to do something. I want them to go down to the water, and I want to see how these men would drink water. And based on how they drink water, I want you to put some to one side and others to another side. And Gideon says that, so some went, and Brother Branham says they just kind of prostrated themselves. And as they began to drink water, they were not in a position to watch the enemy. Amen. Because you know, when you're in a position like the way a dog would lap, when you're in position to watch the enemy, you're always kind of drinking the water but lifting your head up as well. At the same time, keeping your eye on the enemy. So God said, put the ones that are dog lappers to the one side, and the others put them to the other side. And Gideon had 300 men over here, 9,700 men over there. And God says, okay, now with the 300, we're going to go to battle. It took faith. It took faith to say that I'm going to battle with 300 men. And at the end of the story, hallelujah, God told Gideon, go down into the enemy's camp and hear what the enemy is thinking about you. Amen. Here the enemy was more afraid of Gideon than Gideon was afraid of the enemy. Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, the devil is more afraid of you than you are of the devil. Glory to God. Amen. And when Gideon got encouraged by, amen, this event, he went and got the soldiers together, split them all up, and they went in and routed the enemy. God gave him the victory, but it took faith for him to do that. You know, we went through a number of characters like that, and I won't have time to go through them all tonight, but we use a different character for virtue, and a different character for knowledge, and a different character for temperance. Amen. David was one that we used for temperance because he was able to control his temper when Saul was coming to hunt for him. Saul wanted to have a war with David, but David was able to control his temperance. Hallelujah. Amen. But tonight we want to use, amen, war strategies, patience with God. Brother Branham said in the Statue of a Perfect Man, he said we have to have patience with God, and he also said we have to have patience with one another. Amen. So I've broken this sermon up into two, and I want to talk tonight about patience with God. Amen. War strategies, patience with God. In the Statue of a Perfect Man, the prophet introduces to us seven different examples of people, amen, that demonstrated patience when he was talking about that particular virtue.
He used the example of Abraham. He used the example of Noah. He used the example of the Hebrew boys. He used the example of Daniel. He used the example of Paul. And he used the example of the believers on the day of Pentecost. And here I want to just read a quote, amen, from a statue of a perfect man. The prophet says, patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is have patience with God. If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You got patience. Say, well, I asked him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my, what patience. Says God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. He was still believing. He was patient with God. He says, put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so, and it's going to happen. See, keep him before you. That's right. I want to repeat that. He said so, and it's going to happen. No matter how long we have to wait, we'll just be patient, because we have the same faith that Abraham had. We're able to be patient with God. Now look, the Bible says in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. Amen. In your patience possess ye your souls. Look at this in the Philadelphian church age. The prophet talks, amen, about patience here. He says, Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all them, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. What does he mean by the word of his patience? It says, Hebrews 6:13-15 says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But this is only after we patiently endure. Glory to God. Not before, but after we patiently endure, then we obtain the promise. He says, you see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God, which is given to us. To wait for the fulfillment of that word required patience, even as it did in the case of Abraham. He says he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. Why? If he fulfilled his word, oh my, in physical manifestations, the very instant you prayed, I like that. See, we're in a microwave age. Everybody wants to put things in the microwave and have it pop out just like that. You know, there was a time where, you know, when we make popcorn, we had to put it in a kettle. Hallelujah. Not in the microwave. We had to put it in the kettle. We had to wait for that popcorn to pop. But now we put a bag in the microwave, and in 2 minutes we got popcorn. Right? We put everything in the microwave, and it happens so instantaneously that we're losing patience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Look, he says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. Why? If he fulfilled the word in physical manifestations the very instant you pray, you would never learn patience. But would become even more impatient with life. So if God answered your prayer immediately after you prayed, you saw the answer, he said you would become more impatient with life. Glory to God. Let me show you this truth even more fully set forth. He says, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, the word of God, offered up his only begotten son. There it is. Abraham was tried after he received the word of promise. Most think that as soon as we pray in Jesus' name over the good promises of God, that there could not be a trial.
It says, but here it says that Abraham was tried after he received the promise. That is exactly correct according to the psalmist referring to Joseph. Amen. In Psalms 105:19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. We talked about that this morning. All the things that Joseph went through. And the scripture would declare, and the Lord was with Joseph. Wait, I'm sold in slavery. I'm separated from my family. I'm going through this and I'm going through that. But the scripture declares the Lord is with Joseph. Amen. And not only that, my boss sees that I'm blessed. The boss sees that the hand of the Lord is upon me. But my same boss that sees these blessings is the same boss that takes me to prison. And when I get to prison, I get the word of encouragement that the Lord is with Joseph. Hallelujah. You might be going through similar things, and I want you to know tonight, don't get discouraged. The Lord is still with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. After you receive the promise, you will receive the test. But in receiving the test, you also will receive a testimony. Let's go on a little further. He says, God gives us exceeding great and precious promises. He has promised to fulfill them. He will. But from the time we pray until the time we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience. Amen. Into our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. May God help us to learn this lesson. Even as we know the people of the sixth age learn patience, we read the history of the lives of these great Christians. What a contrast we see. Hallelujah, between their lives and ours, for they were so patient and quiet, and today we are all but overcome and over impatience and haste. We must learn to receive patience. We must learn that this is a war strategy. This is a way that we can overcome the enemy just by applying patience. Amen. Let's go a little further. He uses the character of Noah as an example of one that demonstrated patience. And he makes the statement in the statue of a perfect man. He says, Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years. Yet plenty of patience. Now, I like to tell this story. Can you imagine going to Pastor Noah's church? And Noah would come out with a sermon. I got a word from the Lord. I need everybody to hear this word that God gave me. I heard from him last night. And everybody sits at church and they're all under expectation. And Noah comes out and says, it's going to rain. And he preaches this sermon. And then a month goes by and 2 months go by and 3 months. And amen, a year goes by and Noah's still inspired. He's still in the series. Can I put it that way? His series lasts for 120 years. Can you imagine going to church and hearing that? And I can maybe see some people sitting in the congregation, amen, at Noah's church. And maybe one of the young people like, you know what, I'm kind of getting tired of this sermon. And maybe one of the other young people said, just hang in there. Don't give up. Say, no, there's another church that preaching other things over there. And I'm going to get over there because they got something fresh. Hallelujah. Say, no, but don't leave the church. Stay right here. Don't leave right. No. I'm sorry. I say, well, give him one more chance. I know God will speak to him. Give him one more chance. Let's see what he preaches this week. And maybe they talk to Pastor and say, Pastor, people think about leaving. Amen. Because of the sermon, all you keep preaching is it's going to rain. They need to hear something fresh. You say, okay, I got a word from the Lord. I got a word. Just come back to church this Sunday. And they go back to church and Noah says, get in the boat. Now that's new, that's fresh. That's fresh. Get in the boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Noah demonstrated patience. He stayed with what God showed him. Let's go on and read this, amen, about what the prophet says about him. It says, Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years, yet plenty of patience. Not even dew fell from heaven wasn't nothing, just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years, but he was patient. Now, this is a very striking statement that the prophet is about to make. It says, then God tries your patience. Amen. It says, that's right, God tried them. He says, after he told Noah, now he said, Noah, I want you to go ahead and get in the ark. So now the ark is prepared. He says, now get in the ark. I'm going to run the animals in there. He says, I want you to get in, climb way upstairs now, so you can look out the top window. Now, I want you to get in there. I want you to tell these people tomorrow what I've been preaching for 120 years is going to take place. Right. All right, you go down there and tell them. Now, God sends them with another message. Go down and tell them, say, now tomorrow's going to take place. Now, the prophet says that God tries your patience, and you go back and you listen to the statue of a perfect man, you'll see how God tried Noah's patience. Noah built the ark. Noah only has a few members in the church, his family, amen, and they watched the completion of the ark. They also watched the animals actually come to get on the ark. And now they listen to Noah and they actually go and get on the ark. But when they get on, God closes the door. God seals it shut. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. And when God does this, Noah tells them what God said, tomorrow is going to rain. Well, the next day it actually didn't rain. Hallelujah. The prophet says that. The next day it didn't rain. So when it didn't rain for a couple days, the prophet say the way God tried Noah is that Miss Noah came to her husband while they are on the ark. I want you to understand, while they're on the ark, while they're in safety, this is when doubt hits Miss Noah. Come on. Can you imagine being in a place of protection? Amen. You done went through all of this and you went through all of that, and you finally get to this place of protection, and then you allow doubt to seep in. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Said Miss Noah, amen, goes and she approaches Noah and she says, Dad, are you sure? Here, the way that his patience is being tested is through his wife. Ooh, I hope you get that. Sometimes the way that you get tested is through your family members, those that are closest to you. Oh, church, I hope we understand this. Amen. But Miss Noah comes along. She says, Dad, are you sure? And the prophet says, don't talk like that. Amen. We've come this far. We're going to go on. But don't start saying, are you sure? Did God speak to you? Yes, of course God spoke to me. I read it in his word. I heard it on the tape. I know God spoke to me. Yeah, right. Don't talk like that. Just keep talking faith. Amen. Even when you don't feel like talking faith, keep confessing what the word of God says. The more you believe it, the more you confess it. The more you confess it, the more you believe it. He overcomes his wife. And Brother Branham says, then the kids come. Dad, are you sure? And all Noah can tell his family, he's already lost his church. These are the last standing members. Now, understand, they are in an ark with a door that is sealed. And I want to tell you something tonight. Even with all their doubt, they couldn't get out the ark. Oh, Noah didn't close the door. I didn't bring you in here. God brought you in here. God brought these animals in here. So I don't care how much doubt we talk, there is no getting out. We are in this to stay. Noah said, God told me it's going to rain. Well, Dad, you said yesterday he said that. Son, I'm just standing on the promise that God gave me. It's going to rain. God was trying his patience even through his family. Noah stayed with it even though his family did not see what he saw. And eventually God vindicated Noah because he was patient to wait on the Lord. Amen. The prophet used Moses as another example of a man that demonstrated patience. And I like what he says here Because Moses is on the backside of the desert and he learns, amen, through instruction from God to take the rod and throw it down. And when you read the scripture, amen, when Moses threw that rod down, amen, he actually fled from it. Which showed, amen, an element of fear. Hallelujah. He fled from it. And if he's running from the snake, don't you think, amen, it might be a little difficult for Moses to go and pick up the snake by the tail? This is the same thing he ran from. Right. Hallelujah. But yet, God was not going to do anything until Moses obeyed his word. Pick the snake up by the tail. When he picked it up, he had to overcome his own fears. And when he picked it up by the tail, it turned back to a snake. I mean, back to a stick. Right? So Moses learned something there. And then God tells him, now take your hand and put it inside your bosom. He didn't tell him what was going to happen when he put it in the bosom. But when he pulled it out, leprosy. Now I can imagine Moses, amen, he's sitting there looking at his hand like, what is down in there if I put my hand there and it came out? Lord, what is this? All right. And then God tells him, God does not tell him that he's going to heal him. He just, you have to operate by faith. God says, now put your hand back down in there. The last time I put my hand in there.
Come on, think about it now. Think about it.
God, my hand was leprous. And now you're telling me to, see, God will tell you to do some things and won't explain them to you. But you have to move by faith and you have to be patient with God. If he made you a promise, he will bring it to pass. Moses, by faith, puts his hand back down there. This time it comes out whole. Moses had met God in a supernatural way and he's ready to go down to Egypt. And he goes to Egypt knowing that your God is not like my God. I got a stick in my hand and watch what happens when I go down to Egypt. Pharaoh, let my people go.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So, yeah, I'm going to show you that God is with me.
Yes.
And Moses takes his stick and he throws it down on the ground and it turns into a snake. And then Pharaoh looks at him and says, Moses, cheap magician trick.
Come on.
And I thought to myself, if Pharaoh could say something like that, what other things were they practicing that the public did not know about? But he say a cheap magician trick. Now, I want to read you something from the prophet, amen, as we just bring it to that point. He says this in Statue of a Perfect Man. He says, why? He said, the cheap magician trick. Come here a minute. Come here. Janice and you and Jambres, throw your sticks down. They throw them down and they turned into a serpent. Said, now you cheap thing, come down here to me, an Egyptian, a Pharaoh of Egypt, and you come down here with some of your cheap magician tricks, some of your hopes. You know mind reading. You know what I mean. I hope you're reading about it, mental telepathy or something. You see, come down here with some of that set where we can do the same thing you do. What was Moses? He didn't say, oh, Mr. Pharaoh, I'm so sorry. I'll be your slave. No, sir. He stood still. I love that. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. He says he stood still. Amen. He says, stay right there. God said, just no doubt in his heart, hold your peace. I'll show you something. Be patient with God. He says, when you've done exactly what he said do, and it seems like it went wrong, stand still and be patient. When you know you've applied the word of promise to your situation, when you know you've done everything that God has required you to do, and it seems like it went wrong, it seemed like it actually got worse before it got better. It only seems that way. The devil makes it seem that way. God is testing your patience during that moment. And what the prophet tells us to do is just stand still and be patient. It seems like it went wrong. It seemed like, amen, everything is coming against me. It just seems like that, but something's getting ready to turn in your favor. Amen. If you'll just be patient. Amen. Moses stayed there and waited. Before you know it, his serpent went to one serpent and swallowed it up. The other serpent was sitting there, and Moses' serpent went to the other serpent, swallowed it up. And then Moses went and picked it up by the tail, So now if you throw some more servants down here, they're going to be all inside my stick. God demonstrated himself when Moses exercised patience. Let's go a little further with this. The prophet talked about the Hebrew boys and how they waited on God. He also talked about Daniel in the lion's den and how he had patience to wait on God. Even though the laws were written against him, he still demonstrated patience and waited on God and still went to pray the way he always prayed. And the prophet, amen, he gave a lot of information about them, but I won't have time to read that. I'll let you go and listen to, amen, Statue of a Perfect Man and get everything out of it. Amen. But he made another statement about Paul, and the Brother Branham only said one sentence about Paul. And he's talking about these different characters that had patience. And again, I mean, I'm bringing Paul, but the last one was, amen, the Pentecost believers that had to wait on the Holy Spirit. They had to wait to be endued with power from on high. But here, when he talked about Paul, he said, Paul had patience. He said, certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Talk about patience. And that's all he says about Paul in the Statue of a Perfect Man. And he just moves on to start talking about the next few characters. But when I heard that and I realized the Holy Spirit had the prophet to talk about Paul, amen, because he was an example of patience. So I had to go back and do a little digging in the scripture to find out why would the Holy Spirit pick up Paul and say that he was patient. Acts 23 and 11. Let's just read that really quick. Acts 23 and 11. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The prophet says Paul had patience. Certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Talk about patience. Here in Acts 23 and 11, the Bible says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
Yes.
Now this is what the angel of the Lord tells him. The Lord tells him this. Amen. So Paul is going through a trial there. Amen. In Jerusalem. After he hears these words from the Lord, in the next few verses, there is a scheme put together where these men are going to, they have vowed that they will kill Paul. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. They have vowed that they will get rid of this man. And somehow Paul's nephew hears this plan and he gets word to the proper people and they're able to protect Paul. Hallelujah. God had already worked things out for Paul. No matter who was coming against him, God had purpose for Paul and he was going to Rome. And when God gives you a promise that you're going to Rome, there is nothing that can stop you from getting to Rome. Nobody can stop you. No situation can stop you. No circumstance can stop you. You are going where God said that you are going. Hallelujah, somebody. That was Acts 23. Acts 24, Paul is taken to judgment before a man, Felix. And Felix was governor at the time, and Felix, amen, actually prolonged Paul's judgment. He knew that there was no reason for Paul to be placed in prison. There was no reason. They had no evidence. They had nothing against Paul. But yet he is there and held there for 2 years. Brother Branham said Paul had patience. He's held there for 2 years. And the reason that he's held there is because this man Felix is hoping that Paul will actually give him money to buy his freedom. Right. Hallelujah. Eventually, Felix loses his position, and the next governor comes in, amen, and his name is Festus, I believe. Glory to God. Amen. Acts 25, we get Festus coming on the scene. And Festus realized that there's nothing wrong with Paul, but Paul appeals and says, I want to stand before Caesar. Where is Caesar? He's in Rome. Paul says, I want to stand before Caesar. I mean, you all got me on trial, but I mean, you can't do anything about my situation. Let me stand before Caesar. But Festus says, you know what? I want to send him to Caesar, but I don't even know what to write about this man. How can I send this prisoner to Caesar and I got no information on him? So King Agrippa comes along.
Right. Yes.
Festus says, King Agrippa, I want you to listen to what Paul is saying here, and maybe at the end of your conversation, because I trust you have knowledge of the law and things of this nature, he says, at the end of the conversation, maybe I'll have something to write about Paul when I send him to Caesar. King Agrippa takes audience and he listens to Paul. Remember, the prophet said Paul had patience. He's going through all this, and yet he says, okay, whatever it takes, I know I'm still going to Rome. Agrippa listens. This blessed me when I was reading it. As Paul began to stand before Agrippa, he began to share his personal testimony of how he was struck down off a horse. Amen, his high horse, he was struck down, and there he lost his eyesight, and he heard the voice of the Lord say, why kick against the prick, Paul? Why are you kicking against? He say, who art thou, Lord? And he say, I am Jesus, the one that you're kicking against. And as Paul just began to share his personal testimony, this is key to me. Paul did not share mysteries with Agrippa. Paul did not share anything deep with Agrippa. He didn't talk about tongues. He didn't talk about interpretations. He didn't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul simply shared his personal testimony of how he was converted with Agrippa. And do you know what Agrippa said? Thou almost persuadest me. Amen. Not through mysteries.
Amen.
The way he almost persuaded this man is through his personal testimony. If you want to be a witness to somebody, tell them how you got saved. Tell them how you got delivered. People can identify with your personal testimony. Agrippa said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. All of these things are happening before Paul gets to Rome. In Acts 27, something else happens. Acts 23 is where I read he received from the Lord this word that, amen, as you stood before me, amen, as you were witness for me in Jerusalem, you're also going to bear witness for me also in Rome.
Right.
But he's going through all these different trials, and the prophet said he had patience.
Right.
And I can see this because now in Acts 27, oh, stay with me here tonight, church.
Amen.
In Acts 27, Paul is actually telling them, now I feel like there's a storm coming. Something he said, we're gonna be at risk. He didn't say a storm, he said, we're gonna be at risk. Something's about to happen. Maybe we shouldn't loose from here. But they decide to sail anyway. And as they were sailing, amen, on their way to Rome, all of a sudden a storm came from nowhere. The Bible calls it a tempestuous wind. And then the Bible also named the storm. It called it Euroclydon.
Right.
Today we would say Dorian.
Right. All right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what I get from this is that you can have a Euroclydon experience, a hurricane-like experience come into your life the same way it came into Paul's life. And even when you are in the midst of a Euroclydon experience, you are still in the will of God. Euroclydon is not Rome. And God told Paul he was going to Rome. So no matter what Paul went through before he got to Rome, he was always in the will of God. Don't let the devil trick you and think because this happened, because that happened, that you're no longer in the will of God. You can have a tempestuous wind hit your life and you will still be
Amen.
In God's will.
Amen.
While they were there, amen, on the boat, not only did Paul was comforted because he said, not only you will be saved, but everybody that's in this boat that's with you. You know, some people are blessed. Your job is blessed because you're there. Certain situations happen because you are there. Hallelujah. But all these people had their life spared because Paul was on the boat. Not only, Paul, will you be spared, but all those that are on this boat with you, they'll be spared. But there's one stipulation. If they want to be spared, they have to stay in the boat. In Noah's day, they had to get in the ark. And they had to stay in the ark. In Paul's day, they had to stay in the boat if they wanted to be spared. When Euroclidon was hitting, can I tell you something? When you're going through great trials, don't leave church. That's not the time to leave church. But stay in the boat. If you want to come through that trial, you're going to have to stay in the boat. Glory to God. It may not feel good, but you got to stay in the boat. Glory, hallelujah. Don't run then. That's the time to take your stand. Stay in the boat. Here, they were trying to decide, you know, hey, some of the guys wanted to cut some of the lifeboats off and say, we got to get in the lifeboats, we got to get out of here. Paul said, no, don't do that. Don't get out the boat. Stay in the boat. You'll be spared if you stay in the boat. Yes. They cut the lifeboats away and they wouldn't let anybody get off. They began to lighten the boats. They did all kind of things to try to last through this storm. And sometimes you're going to have to do all kind of stuff just to last through the storm. But they got to a spot where the boat got stuck. And as the boat got stuck, the back end of the boat began to break away. The winds was beating it, and the back end began to break away. And there were some people on the boat, and they were saying, let's just kill all the prisoners. Let's kill all the prisoners. But if you kill all the prisoners, then Paul will never make it to Rome. So God had to cancel that plan. Can I tell you something? God is actually canceling some plans that the devil has against you. God canceled the plan. Said, no. The centurion that was leading said, no, we're not going to kill because the Bible says he wanted to save Paul. So the other prisoners were spared because he wanted to save Paul. It says anybody that can swim, swim to shore. And others that cannot swim, just grab a hold of one of the pieces of the boat that's broken away, that's floating. Because if it's floating now, it'll float you up to the shore. And I want to tell you, amen, if you can't swim to shore, then you can make it on broken pieces. If you just grab one of the broken pieces of the boat, you can make it to safety on broken pieces. And here they come all the way up to the shore on broken pieces. And they get there and you think that, oh my, God just worked this great thing for Paul. He saved them and all the other men and they're wet. They want to get warm by fire. But the prophet said Paul had patience. And I say amen to that. Because when I read all this in scripture, this man had to be patient with God. He went through all this before he got to Rome. And after he gets spared from a shipwreck, now he goes to the island and he's getting warmed by fire, sticks his hand in the fire and gets bitten by a serpent. And the people on the island say, oh, this guy is going to die immediately. Everybody just had their eyes fixed. No doctor could help. No special medicine could help this man. They had their eyes fixed. Now, he must be a sinner. He must have got away from this and got away from that. But God finally caught up with him. And here Paul just shakes it off. You want to know why Paul can shake it off? Because he's not in Rome. When you know that God has called you to a certain place, when you know God has spoken to you, no matter what happens to you on the journey, you can just shake it off. Shake it off and keep pressing on because you're going to Rome no matter what comes. Finally, in Acts 28, Paul makes it to Rome. So when the prophet says that Paul was patient, we can see all through Acts 23, all the way to Acts 28, all the things that he endured before he got to Rome. See, when I looked at that in scripture, I said to myself, it doesn't, you know, I feel it was certainly the perfect will of God for us to be right here in Indiana this weekend, even though a storm is bearing down to come to our area. That's okay. You can still be in the perfect will of God going through Euroclidon. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for these things. Here in Hebrews 10, verse 35 through 38, before we make our transition here. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Remember, Moses, after he had done exactly what God told him to do, it seemed like things were going wrong. The prophets say, stand still, be patient. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Whatever you do, don't draw back. Stay in the boat. Hallelujah. There's safety in the boat. Glory to God. A testimony here that the prophet shares with us. Amen. Out of the message, the hour is come. It says, recently she had sent one of those handkerchiefs to her sister for her little baby that had a club foot. And she told the lady, she said, you tie the handkerchief on its foot and the Lord is going to heal it. So she left the handkerchief on about 2 weeks and it got so dirty. And she said, you can wash it and then put it back on. All right. So she did. And the handkerchief got kind of old and worn. Excuse me. Says the handkerchief was kind of getting kind of old and worn. She said, well, there's no difference in the baby's foot, said, I guess I might as well take it off. Hallelujah. And she said, oh, don't you do that. Said, if it comes to pieces, you tie it with strings, then tie it back on there, she said, because I know that it will get well. She'd seen so many things done in the meetings. And the woman did that. She just had a few strings of that handkerchief tied on the baby's foot. And one morning she went to get the baby and the Lord had been there. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remain patient. One day the Lord is going to show up. One day God is going to pay a visit himself. The Lord had been there that night and the baby's foot was straight. She brought the baby to the meeting to show and brought the strings that was left on the handkerchief and had the baby's picture before where it was then, how the little baby's foot was clubbed in like that. A little baby about 8 or 10 months old, and there was the little baby's foot just as normal as any other baby. Now what if she throw the handkerchief away and say, well, that's where we miss the blessings. We're afraid to wait on God just a little bit. See, you've heard that, only wait. Again, I hear that whisper, only wait. It won't be very long. Even now, the Father's hand is pleading. Soon with Jesus, we will sing the victory song. That's right. Just wait on God. Believe it. Confess it. Stay with it. And God will bring it to pass for you. I want to say that again. Believe it. Confess it. Stay with it, and God will bring it to pass for you. I'm going to say it again. Believe it, confess it, stay with it, and God will bring it to pass for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One other statement that I want to make here out of Statue of a Perfect Man. Amen. The prophet says, now if you got that kind of patience after God gives you a promise and you see it in the Bible, it's mine, then wait. Then if you got that kind of patience, add it to your faith and see how high you're getting now. You're getting way up here now, all right? The clock hand is getting way around too, isn't it? All right, all right. Add this to your faith. always putting him before you, remembering it was he, Christ, that promised. It wasn't me promise, wasn't pastor promise or Brother Neville. It wasn't some other minister promise. It wasn't some priest or pope. Wasn't no man of the earth. It was God made the promise, and God is able to keep everything he promised. All right, if you got that kind of faith to know that God promised it, say, Brother Branham, I'm sick, I need healing off a bat. Accept it. It's a gift given to you. See, yet I say, yes, sir. If thou canst believe, well, you say, I do believe, then forget it. If you believe, then forget it, right? That's all. It's all over. See, have patience. If you got patience, if you're not, you're crumbling off this building here. See, it'll knock all the rest of it down. The one thing, got to have that. Don't add it because it'll wreck your building. If you haven't got patience, if you haven't got virtue to add to your faith, then you say you got. And if you haven't got any faith and try to put virtue on it, it'll break your faith down. See, you say, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe this is all a mistake anyhow. Maybe God isn't God. Maybe there is no God. See, it'll break the thing right in two. See, so what he encourages us to do is just have patience and wait on God. Have patience and wait on God. When we look at our scripture in 2 Samuel, we pick up, amen, a war strategy that God has given David. And in order for David to overcome in this particular battle, he had to exercise patience. Sometimes, amen, in your own life, when you're trying to overcome particular things, hallelujah, amen, you're going to also have to exercise patience. Sometimes you exercise faith. Sometimes you exercise virtue. Sometimes you exercise knowledge. Sometimes you exercise temperance. But today we want to talk about patience, being able to exercise patience when you're in the midst of a battle. David had to do that. This was a war strategy that he received, and it gave him victory in the thing that he was facing. We pick this up in scripture as we go back to 2 Samuel chapter 5. It says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. Now, wait a minute. This is the same David that used to fight for the Philistines. And now the Philistines are coming against him when they realize that he has been anointed king of Israel. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that everybody's not going to be happy with when God anoints you. Everybody's not going to be celebrating when God anoints you. Hallelujah. You have to expect that somebody's going to be in disagreement with this. But you got to exercise patience and just keep waiting on God. Oh, everybody's not going to be happy with your decisions. Glory to God. There's no need to pray to ask God to let everybody be peaceful with my decision. That's not going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah, church. You have to stand on your own conviction. Because everybody in David's situation, everybody was not happy with the decision. Look at this. Amen. David, and it says, they had anointed David king over Israel. All of the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David, I love this, amen, when you're going through, do what David did. He inquired of the Lord. He prayed about it. Amen. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou? These are very specific questions. Shall I go up? First question. Second, wilt thou deliver them into my hand? Second question, it says, and the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Notice this, and David came to Baal Perazim. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the bread of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, early in David's life, David fought a man by the name of Goliath. And there was a promise made by the Philistines at the time that he had this battle with Goliath, the promise was that they made that if we defeat you, you serve us. But if you defeat us, we'll serve you. And David goes out and he strikes Goliath down, but the Philistines never keep their end of the bargain. I want to tell you something. You cannot make any agreements with the devil. He will never keep his end of the bargain. So these same Philistines that promised that, now these same Philistines are coming against David. And God makes a way for David at Baal-perazim. Hallelujah. I love that because Baal-perazim has a meaning. Amen. What Baal-perazim means is master of the breakthroughs. When you're going through trials, amen, there's going to be one of two breaks that you'll have. One could be a breakdown. Hallelujah. But the other, if you're patient and wait on God, will be a breakthrough. And our Lord is master of the breakthroughs. Don't give up on God because he has not given up on you. Just be patient and wait on God. He will overcome your enemies. God uses a different war strategy next. This one was go up and I'll deliver the Philistines into your hands. And he goes to a very specific location and God delivers the Philistines. But these same Philistines that promised that they would fight no more, that we would be your enemy, I mean, we'll be your servants, these same Philistines are coming up with other strategies of how to attack David. Look at the next verse. Verse 21. And there they left their images. David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again. I learned something just by reading scripture. You know, Goliath was taken out. It was a huge giant that was taken out. But you know, Goliath had brothers. And they were just as large as he was. Hallelujah. One of his relatives had six fingers and six toes. Another really big problem. But I want you to be encouraged that if God can take the first problem out, God can also take the next problem out. Just remain faithful. Here, amen. Here they're coming up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. It's like I already been through this. We're going through this again. That's the way the devil is. But every time you go through, you can expect God to give you a breakthrough. Listen, he says, and when David inquired of the Lord, he prayed about it again. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. This time he receives a different strategy. And in this strategy is, he says, fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And the Bible says David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. This was a different strategy. This strategy required patience. He couldn't get ahead of God. He couldn't get in front of God. He had to wait on God. Wait until you hear the sound in the mulberry trees. I don't know how long David stayed there waiting. Maybe the other soldiers say, David, I think I heard something. Let's go. No. It's time. We just got to wait on God. Wait till we're sure. Then we'll attack the enemy and there won't be any casualties. David waited on the Lord. David overcame the enemy. But in two battles with the same group of Philistines, God gave David two different strategies. As David patiently waited on the Lord waiting to hear a word from the Lord regarding these strategies, David overcame. When you are in war, when you are in trial, when you are, amen, going through, God will give you a strategy to defeat the enemy. And one strategy God may use is the virtue of patience. Amen. The prophet makes a statement here in absolute. How can we say about Joshua? Now, I didn't talk about Joshua, but he's another example of patience. You know, it took patience to walk around the walls of Jericho one time a day. At one time a day for the first 6 days, and then on the seventh day, we're going to walk around seven times. You know, the Bible actually told him not to even, don't even talk, don't sing, don't do anything, don't shout till I tell you to shout. It required patience. Not only patience with God, but they had to have patience with one another. Now, if the scripture is telling them not to talk, I was just imagining to myself, what if somebody got discouraged? Maybe around day five, I'm like, oh, I just can't do this no more. I mean, I just can't do it. I don't know how to express this, but sometimes people can see on your face how you might be a little discouraged. But if you couldn't talk, the only way to encourage that person maybe is through your body language. Hallelujah. You can encourage them through your own body language. And you got to encourage them. No. Say, no, we got to keep going. Now, you can't say this out of your mouth, but maybe you just nod your head. No, we got to keep going. No, you're using sign language, so we got to keep pressing on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But don't let your neighbor give up. Don't let them quit, because if we all march on the seventh time, on the seventh day, we're going to see God do something tremendous. Amen. It required patience for them to wait on God. Their strategy in that battle was, don't even pick up your sword, but all I want you to do is let out a great shout. After we march around, just shout. That's all I want you to do. Shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, some of y'all have been going through some things for quite some time.
Yep.
But maybe tonight all you need to do is just let out a great shout.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. What if that was your strategy? What if that was the strategy God gave you? All I want you to do is come to church and let out a shout. Huh? So maybe you know, you've been coming since, I mean, the young people have been here since Thursday night. We come Thursday night. We come Friday night. We come Saturday night. We come Sunday morning. We come Sunday night. We've been marching around this thing for quite some time.
All right, man.
But maybe God said, here on the last night, all I want you to do, you've been marching, but now it's time to shout. Are you ready for the wall to come down?
Amen.
I asked the question, are you ready for your wall to come down?
Amen.
Well, if you're ready for your wall to come down, we're going to count to three. And when we count to three, you let out your shout. You've been saving this for a long time. You've been waiting for this for a long time. You've been patient and waiting on God. Hallelujah, somebody. But God said, now is the time. We've marched around long enough, but now is the time that we let out a shout. One, two, three, shout. Praise God. While you're shouting, your walls are coming down. Hallelujah. Your situation is changing. Your circumstance is being fixed while you are shouting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This is a war strategy. This is how we overcome the enemy. This is how we fight our battles. Praise God. We obey the word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Allow me to read this last quote. Maybe we can get the musicians to come. Amen. You all just keep standing up. Don't sit down. Let's just worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, praise God. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. Hallelujah. The prophet says, and absolute says, how can we say about Joshua? How's he going to cross the Jordan? Seems like God was a strange military man right in the month of April, when the waters was up like that. But he said to Joshua, take the ark and go forward. That's all he had to do. And God moved back to Jordan, made dry grounds, and they walked across and was delivered. How it was? No wonder Joshua said, for me and my house will serve the Lord. How David, the great patriarch, how we like to speak about him. We haven't time, but many times, as we heard someone speaking a few moments ago about David and his sin, but when all of it was forgiven, when he was going out to battle, and we call it in the world, the chips were down, and the opposition was great, and David laid there under the tree and sweated it out. That's what we've been doing. The air conditioning went out. We're sweating it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it sweated out until he heard the sound going through the mulberry trees. Then it was different. David rose and went on because that he had an absolute that he knew that was God going on before him. Can't we pray, amen, a prayer of faith that will send God onto the parole board down there? Sure we can. We believe that we can if we'll hold to that absolute. Be patient. Wait on God. You'll overcome in this battle. Amen. This is how we fight our battle. Amen. We take the word of God. Yes. And yes. We defeat the enemy. Amen. Can you play that softly for me? Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, Jesus. Father God. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Jesus. We know situations are changing. Circumstances, Lord, are being resolved. Lord, even right now, God, as amen, as we stand, and Lord, the church let out a great shout the way they did there, amen, in the days of Joshua. The children of Israel were patient and waiting on you, just waiting for you to move. Oh, God, and Father, as they walked around the walls, amen, the way that you told them, they didn't have to pick up a spear. They didn't have to, amen, use any weapons. But as they let out a great shout, the walls of the enemy begin to come down. David waited, Father, under the mulberry tree, waited for you to move, oh God. And Father, many of the saints have been waiting for you to move on their circumstances, in their situations. But we believe tonight, and we're declaring tonight, that change is taking place. Hallelujah. We expect to see healings. We expect to see deliverances. We expect to see families restored. We expect to see families reconciled. We expect to see, oh God, the devil bound in every way. We expect to see your people go free. We expect it, God. And we thank you, God, for what you've done. Amen. In this place, as we responded to your word, we fight our battles with the word of God. We have victory because the word says we have victory. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us this weekend. Thank you for your spirit just being in our midst. Thank you for every blessing that we have received. And we know, God, that you're not finished. As we worship you and as we praise you even right now, may your glory fill this place. Let revival fires burn in every heart, God. As the song was saying, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me, set my soul afire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor and we give you the praise. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Hallelujah. Let the church give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm, but I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. This is how I fight my battle. Oh, this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded. Yeah, it may look like I'm, yes. It may look like I'm surrounded. Yes, it may look like I'm surrounded. Oh, but I'm surrounded. Say, this is how I fight my back. Say, this is how I fight. Use the word of God. I know it is written. Oh, it is written. It may look like I'm surrounded, yeah, but I'm surrounded. Hey, it may look like, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Say, it may look like, yeah. Oh, it may look like I'm, hey, but I'm surrounded. Say, this is how I fight. This is how I fight. Oh, this is how I fight. Yeah, this is how I fight. Come on, one more time. Hey, it may look like, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It may look like I'm. Whoa. Sing it again. Say, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. It may look like. Oh God, hallelujah! One more time. Raise them up. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. Oh, this is how I fight. Yes, I use the word of God. Say, it is written. Oh, it is written. Yes, it is written. Yeah, it is written. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. It may look like. But I'm surrounded by you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're not a God created by human hands, and you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Sing it again. Oh, you are not a God created by human hands, and you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone. from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. Hey, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. Sing it again. Say, you are God alone. From before time began, hey, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, hey, thank you, Lord. Listen to the second verse. Oh, say, now you're the only God whose power none can contend, and you're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Yes, you are God alone from before time began. Hey, come on, say. Oh, and right in the good times, hey, thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it again. Say, you are God alone from before time began. What you are, come on, say, you're unshakable, oh, unstoppable, that's what you are, come on, everybody say, you're unchangeable, unshakable, hey, and unstoppable, that's what you are, sing it again, say, you're come on, just keep those hands clapping. Now remember this. If he's unchangeable, and he's unshakable, and he's unstoppable, he's also dwelling inside of you. And that makes you unchangeable. Hey, I'm unshakable. Yes, I'm unstoppable. That's what I am. That's what I am. Come on, say, I'm unchangeable. Hallelujah. I'm unstoppable. That's what I am. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm unchangeable. Hallelujah. I'm unstoppable. That's what I am. Because he lives inside of me, I'm unchangeable. Changeable. Unshakable. Whoa, unstoppable. That's what I am. You are God, say, you are God alone. Oh, and from before time began, yeah. Oh, hey, right in the good times, you are on your throne, you're God alone. Hey, say, you are God alone. Oh, and from before time began. Jesus, yeah, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are still on your throne, yes, and you are God, oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, hey, hallelujah, sing it again, say right now, in the good times and bad. Listen, I said right now, in my good times and bad, You are on your throne because you are God alone. Come on, every voice raised. Everybody say right now. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Sing it again. Say right now. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. One more time, say right now. In the good times and you are on your throne, 'cause you are God alone. Somebody give him a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Church of the Open Door. It's been our pleasure to be here with you this weekend. God bless you till we meet again.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Freedom is here. Deliverance is here. Amen. It's good to be in church. Good to feel His presence. Amen. Believe lives are being changed. Amen. Let's sing this together. I don't think we could leave the service tonight and not sing this song. Oh, move on, brother, move on, sister, this is the moving day. Won't you move a little closer where the streams are flowing? Move on, brother, move on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on, the move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Won't you move a little closer? Well, old Satan said my Lord was gone, and he would not even hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, church, the work's already done, and Christ my Lord, he is here. So now door my soul unto my Lord I cried, until my Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be denied.
patient for the promise to be fulfilled till my Jesus comes and he makes me whole. I would not be denied. Oh, just like Jacob in those days of old, I had wrestled with my Lord. Oh, then instant with that courage bold, I stood up on his word. So now I would not be denied. Boo, devil! Oh, no, I would not be. Oh, somebody praise him tonight till Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be denied. Well, old Satan will say that your Lord is gone, and he will not even hear your prayer. But you just praise the Lord for the work's already done, and Christ our Lord, he is here. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would. Don't let the devil lie to you tonight. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Well, now Satan says that this message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. So now I would not be. I want you to listen tonight, devil. Oh, the bride won't be dear. She won't be tonight till our Jesus comes and makes us whole. I would not be. Oh, let's sing it this way. Oh, the bride. I was starting to get worried. I thought people had to work tomorrow. It's Labor Day. Oh, you could lock me up in a prison, and you could throw away the key, or you could take my vision from these eyes that now can see, or deprive me of the food. As long as I know Jesus, then I could still go free. Oh, he said that I could still go free. I don't care what Satan said. He said you could go free. Tell me what kind of a man would reach.
for you and me. I was so unworthy to live. I was not fit to kill. But then the man on that cross, he put my name in his will, and he said that Jimmy, you know, I never could quite understand why my king would want to leave his throne. He left it for you and for me. Oh, just to die that old role of an earthly man. He'd feel the pains of flesh and bone. Oh, and then he'd later trod that lonesome path. He knew it led to Calvary. It happened at Calvary. Oh, that's where his blood red stains. Oh, they broke all my chains when he said that I could still go free. I wish somebody would help me praise him tonight. He said that I could still go free. He broke all sins.
By your stripes I've been
do whatever He's leading you to do in this presence. If He's leading you to make something right, if He's leading you to come to the altar, if He's leading you to pray for somebody else, if He's leading you to give your heart to Him, if He's leading you to come up and ask Him to heal you, whatever He's leading you to do in this presence, I would encourage you tonight. Don't let it pass you by. Don't hush that holy voice of God that's leading you to do something. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, listen to what He's telling you to do. Whatever He's asking you to do, He's here tonight. Have confidence in Him. Have faith in Him that still small voice has never led you wrong. He's never led you wrong. Maybe you've gone the wrong places. Maybe you've done the wrong things. But He's never led you wrong. All have confidence in Him tonight. Some of you brothers, why don't you pray with these up around the altar? Jehovah Shammah, Lord, you are with me. Oh, you can be seated if you want. You can stand if you want. You can kneel if you want. Whatever you feel led to do tonight. Child, oh my provider, you are more than the glory.
Oh, there is no one else like you. Lord, you are great. You do miracles so great. And there is no one else like you.
Play that softly tonight. I'd encourage you. Get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Feel that unction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe He's telling you to go pray for somebody. Maybe He's telling you to just walk up and down the aisles and praise Him. I don't know what He's telling you to do, but if He's speaking to your heart tonight, get out of your comfort zone. Do what He's telling you to do. Amen. There's been brothers and sisters up here that have done that. I believe God is going to honor it. I believe God's going to have fruits from it. Sometimes we have to get desperate enough for God. Sometimes we have to get desperate for Him to move in our midst. Oh, if you're desperate enough, you'll do things you didn't think you'd do. But He is great. He does miracles so great.
was a tiny, simple stable, all beaten and worn. Unlikely a place for the King to be born. He didn't choose someplace special to reveal His majesty. So I know if I'll give Him control, He'll be born in me. Let Your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live with me. Let it start.
Lord, let it start.
Live inside this house of clay and mold me every day. This vessel, oh, and let God have His way. From glory unto glory, and change me day by day.
Lord, please come.
exactly why. Oh, I can't explain with tongue or pen that spirit's groaning deep within. Oh, I know it's God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I feel the pull.
I feel the pull.
Oh, I hear the call.
I hear the call.
And I know His failing to forgive. Each moment is a gift from you to live. And we're only here to tell the world about your grace until the day you take us all away.
To
you lose. Let's sing it again together. Oh, there are too many sunsets. They lie behind the mountain. There are too many rivers. Oh, yes, Lord. So I pray, Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's some work that I can do. Oh, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my way to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you'll just help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. But by eyes of faith I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Let me thy servant be. There's a word that I do. Must be great, I'll work for you. Oh, he's the lily of the valley. The bright and morning star. Oh, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Yes, Lord. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. Oh, but best of all, he is my coming King. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a sing it again. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, surely there's a work I can do. Even though it's hard, help my heart to cry. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved's, he is mine. His banner over me is love.
My salvation, his banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. And Jesus is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And now I am a new creation, his banner over me is love. And now I am a new creation, his banner over me is love. And now I am a new creation, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. And Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. And Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. Banner over me is love. Oh, his banner over me is love. He's gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. He's gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. He's gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Oh, I was shackled by a shame. Oh, then touch me. Oh, now I am no longer the same. Oh, for he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, since I met this blessed Savior, oh, since he cleansed and made me whole, oh, I will never cease to praise him. I'm gonna shout it while eternity rolls.
Oh, have you had a touch from him tonight?
Oh, yes, oh, he touched me.
Somebody testify. Oh, he touched me. Yes, Lord. And oh, the joy that floods my... Oh, no matter what the devil tries to tell you tomorrow, oh, I know something, something happened.
Aren't you thankful that he gave you a touch tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's try this tonight. We want to say thank you, Jesus. For all the grace you have given us, though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that
something to thank him for tonight, something to be thankful for. Oh, we want to say thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all the grace you have given us. And though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you. They play that softly. I just want to say tonight, 18 years ago, when we walked in the back of a little church surrounded by barbed wire fence in West Palm Beach, we knew it was a pretty bad neighborhood when it's surrounded by barbed wire, the churches, and heard Brother Jack singing this song, "Thank You, Jesus." From my heart, I want to say, I thank you. I don't think Brother Jack or Brother Trevor or myself ever pictured the path that God would bring us down in 18 years. When he had those stand up that was standing, it was here 8 years ago in November in the little house service. There was about 25 of us maybe. Until then, we just had enough people to sit on the couches and the chairs. But we went out and bought 30 folding chairs for this special occasion of our first special meeting. 30 folding chairs, Brother Daniel. My vision wasn't very big. But we do that a lot with God. We limit Him. We limit God in our circumstances. We limit God in our families. We limit God in our lives. But He is limitless. We look at the doctor's report. We look at the bank account. We look at the stock market. We look at our job. Don't limit Him. He is limitless. Amen. Let's just thank Him for a little while tonight. I know it's late, but God's been doing some mighty things in people's lives. Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, oh, I'd like to say that church say thanks. Oh, thanks. Oh, I give you thanks for all you've done, Lord. I am so blessed. Lord, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Lord, tonight we want to say thanks. Oh, thanks. Sing it one more time. Tell the Lord, say, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. Hey, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Sounds real good. Everybody tell the Lord, say, thanks. God, I give you thanks for all you've done.
sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen. Brother Trevor suggested we try that, so we'll blame him for that one. Amen. It's been good to be in church. Been good to be in church. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's just, oh my, I'm trying to think of how to even dismiss Brother Jimmy. I don't know where to stop, but we got to find a place to somewhere. Brother Hoover, why don't you come dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight, brother? Oh my. It's wonderful to be in his presence, isn't it?
Just overwhelming sometimes when you walk into an atmosphere like this and you realize that there's people that they don't even have a concept of what we've experienced this evening. You just have to say, God, I don't know why you chose me. I don't know. I had to be yours at the beginning for you to come and find me. I just love him. I'm glad that he saved the best for last, Brother Jack. I asked him downstairs before service, I said, did you leave any hay on the fork this morning? I'm glad there was some more hay tonight. God's so good, isn't he? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, my heart is just overwhelmed with your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I see young people responding. I see young people yielding to you. I see middle-aged people yielding to you. I see people, Lord, that they don't always show emotion, Lord, like I do. But, Lord, in this presence tonight, Lord, I saw hands raised. I saw people worshiping you because they realized it wasn't some man that was here. It wasn't just some emotion, but Heavenly Father, they were in the presence of the King. And Lord, our souls have to respond to that. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for washing us with the water of the word. We thank you, Lord, for cutting things out of our lives and cutting loose, Lord, your Jesus. Lord, for changing us from the inside out. Oh, God, we just want to say thank you. We've sang it, Lord, but from our hearts we want to say it, Lord. We want to live it. May we live a life of thanksgiving. May we live a grateful life, Lord, as we go forth from this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just surrender ourselves to you anew. Ask that you would go with us. May your Spirit abide in us, Lord, and watch over us and guide us. Keep us upon the highway, Lord. We have our brothers and sisters that are on their way back to Florida, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray that your angels will be with them every mile of the way, Lord. Heavenly Father, may they just feel the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Come in that van now, Lord. May they realize, Lord, that there's some saints that are praying for them. Be with Brother Jack, Lord, as he goes back, and those that are with him, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, be with us until we come together again under the unction and the direction of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. Lord, may we come in anticipation. Oh, Heavenly Father, that your presence will still be lingering here, and we'll just walk into this presence again on Wednesday night and begin to worship you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now. Watch over us, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God is good. Brother Layton preached Wednesday night on prayer. Now, if you want revival, you got to pray. It starts with prayer. Amen. I believe some people were praying. Amen. What a wonderful time it's been in the Lord. All I can say is, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I know it saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Let's sing it this way before we go. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God, praise God. God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's sing it that way one more time together. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We worship. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Amen. But not from his presence, just from the building. Oh.